Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Decatur City Church Online. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning. If we've never met, my name is Tensley. I'm the lead pastor, and like you, I've watched over the past few weeks as our country continues to grapple with the weight of racism and white supremacy that hangs over our collective history and even our current day. And in the midst of all that, I knew that we had already recorded today's service. We actually recorded it weeks ago. So while I was wrestling with whether we should just scrap the whole thing and redo it, I went back and I revisited the content. And I realized that this message, while originally written to address this new normal of life during a pandemic, was actually incredibly applicable to where we find ourselves right now. We're going to address this idea of normal and talk about what it is and whether or not it's something that's worth going back to. And as we come back to the end of another week that has certainly felt far from normal, I find myself confident that if the world that led to the death of George Floyd was considered normal, then that's certainly not something that any of us should aspire to. In fact, that's something that we're working and fighting to make sure that we never return to. If getting back to normal means once again allowing ourselves to be desensitized to the injustice and inequality, then getting back to normal, it's not something that I'm interested in. But here's the good news. The message of Jesus calls us out of that normal, and it calls us into something so much better if we're only willing to embrace it. And I think that that is something that's worth talking about, and it's what we're going to talk about today. So with that in mind, let's jump right in. If you're anything like me, you've spent a lot of time these last couple of days really adjusting to a new normal, trying to adopt and adapt to new rhythms and new routines. But I've also spent a lot of time during this season kind of thinking about another question. It's really a question I want us to talk about and wrestle with today. It's a big question. It's kind of a question that I think cuts to the source of maybe everything that we're feeling. Here's the question. The question is this. I mean, what is normal? I mean, think about it. Even when things were normal, I mean, what was normal? Normal was always something that was kind of out there in front of us. It was always something that we were striving to achieve. Normal always felt like this finish line that kept moving. I think one of the things that was so dangerous about this idea of normal is that normal was always shifting on us. I mean, normal was really like a marketing ploy. It's what advertising and literature and companies used to tell us what we wanted or tell us who we thought we should be. You know, we always felt like if I lived in a certain house or if I had the right friends or if I was finally a member of a certain club, that then things would be normal. Like if I could get my kids in the right school or if I could live in the right neighborhood, then finally things would be normal. But you know what I discovered to be true in my own life? Every time I reached something that I felt like would bring me to the place that things were normal, all of a sudden, it wasn't normal. All of a sudden, that same discontent was there. That same longing was there. I kept realizing that I wanted something more and something more and something else would finally make life feel normal. Normal is this elusive thing that we all long for, but yet we've never really been able to achieve. And really, this is a tension and a problem that people have felt throughout the ages. I mean, no matter where you go back to in history, you're going to find some version of normal because normal's always changing. I mean, for instance, rewind back to when Jesus was born. Think about what was normal then. It was normal to own people. Like if you had slaves, you were a good member of society. You were an upstanding citizen. It was normal to treat women like property. Kids, they didn't have any value. Kids were not important. You weren't supposed to love your kids because they were your own. Kids were just something that, like a commodity for you. And this was considered normal. Might, it made right. The mighty, they were powerful. And Rome was in charge. I mean, Rome had the world buttoned up. It worked for them. It preserved their way of life. It was their version of normal. And they were not interested in seeing that changed at all. But you know what? The Jewish people, the people of Israel, they had a version of normal too. And in their normal, they were destined to be this powerful and prosperous nation. They felt like things would finally be normal when they had a leader that could wield a sword and kind of raise his mighty right hand and restore them to their greatness, restore them to the time when things were, well, normal, when they were the ones who were in charge. I mean, think about it. They weren't looking for some kind of spiritual guru or some kind of rabbi. They had plenty of those. They were looking for a political savior. They were looking for a mighty warrior. They were looking for somebody that when their story was written by Hollywood and it was a big production, that the person who played their savior would be The Rock. You know, somebody who stood head and shoulders above everybody else, somebody who was so dominant that people were afraid of them, somebody who was so powerful that it would display the strength and the mighty power of their country. It would make them normal. But it's not what they got. All of a sudden, this new figure showed up on the scene. This person named Jesus started gaining all kinds of popularity. His videos were going viral. His likes on Instagram were going crazy. His social media platform was just really blowing up, and people were getting so excited. People were starting to whisper, maybe this is him. Maybe this is the Messiah. Maybe this is the one who's gonna restore things to normal. But please don't miss this. Other people, they were whispering too. They were whispering, I hope not. I hope this isn't him, because I don't know if you've heard his message, but I'm not sure that this guy is gonna return things to normal. But man, the crowds, they were gathering. They were getting excited. There was so much energy. In fact, one day, Jesus shows up on this mountainside, and the people, they're convinced that this is gonna be his coronation speech. This is going to be his big coming out party. This is gonna be the moment when Jesus launches this campaign, when he tells everybody that he's this political savior that they have been looking for. I mean, the excitement, it's unbelievable. The crowd, the largest you have probably ever seen. I mean, think about it. I don't know that it happened this way exactly, but this kind of gets my mind working. Think, like, the music starts playing. The excitement, it's thick. People are so excited. There's so much energy. Jesus's hype man gets up on stage and he works the crowd into a frenzy. I mean, people are so excited. All it's gonna take is just a simple nudge from Jesus, this new figure on the scene. And Israel, they're gonna rush the palace. I mean, they are going to storm the gates and they are gonna take over Rome and they're gonna be the ones in charge, and things are gonna finally, well, they're gonna finally be normal again. But instead, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus starts this epic moment, and this is what he says. He looks at the crowd and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now imagine the disciples, Jesus's closest followers, they're sitting on the front row and man, they're starting to squirm because this is not the start they were looking for. But he continues and he says, blessed are the mourners. I imagine John looking over at Peter and going, is he okay? Like, what is he doing? He's dropping the ball. This isn't the speech he's supposed to do. Jesus continues and he says, blessed are the meek. By this point, Peter is probably considering rushing the podium to take over the microphone, because this is not at all what they had planned. And Jesus, maybe looking at his best friends right there on the front row, looking at the disciples, just begins to twist the knife to make his point further. And he says, blessed are the peacemakers. And it's just so hard to get our minds around what's happening here. But the people who gathered that day, the ones who were left, I mean, most have probably scattered by this point. They're just in utter disbelief. Their warrior, this political savior that they had put so much hope in, he was a peacemaker. I mean, it's hard to overstate this, but this was not normal. This certainly did not represent the return to their version of normal, the normal that they were hoping for. Instead, this was a direct assault on normal. This was a direct attack on every cultural value that Rome had embedded so deep into the fabric of the world. Jesus was outlining something totally different, and the people, they missed it. His best friends, they missed it. To them, this had to feel like it was probably the end of the world. I mean, so much so that one of his friends, a guy named Judas, he would eventually go on to mastermind this plot to end the life of Jesus and end this new teaching that Jesus was introducing, because to him, this really did feel like the end of the world.
Haven't seen you in quite a while. Down the hall, just passing time. Last time we met was a low-lit room, close together as bride and groom. We ate the food and we drank the wine, everybody having a good time. Except you, you were talking about the end of the world. The money and I spiked your drink. I miss too much these days if you stop to think. You lead me on with those innocent eyes. You know I love the element of surprise. In the garden I was playing guitar. I kissed your lips and I broke your.
Of the world moment. It's as if Jesus was looking out into that crowd and perhaps maybe looking ahead through space and time to us. And he was saying, hey, here's my warning to you. Those of you who have the most invested in the current arrangement of this world, those of you who feel like everything you're experiencing right now is normal and you want to maintain this kind of living, you're the ones who are going to have the most to lose. You're the ones who are going to feel the most grief and the most heartache. And I think we know this. Like, I think we understand what he's talking about. At least I certainly do. Because here's how it works for me. When I start to feel like the economy is normal by my definition of normal, you know, which is like the stock market is up and to the right and my accounts are looking stronger and stronger. When my hopes are tied to those kind of things, when all of a sudden they begin to shift, I feel like I lose so much, right? Like if your hopes are tied to who's in the White House and who's setting policy for our country, every 4 years when your version of normal gets disrupted, then all of a sudden you know what real anxiety feels like, don't you? It's like when the world starts to tilt just a little bit and things start to feel upside down to us because our version of normal has been disrupted, all of a sudden we know what loss and pain and grief really feels like. It's like Jesus was saying that the best version of the world is not this normal that you long for. You see, they had bought into this idea that normal was represented by things like strength and power and might. And the person who had those things were the people that were in charge. And they didn't want that to change. They just wanted to be the ones with the strength and with the power and with the might. But Jesus looks out at them and ultimately he looks to us and he says, no, I'm forever redefining normal. I'm forever redefining strength and power and might, and it's no longer going to look like what you think it's going to look like. In fact, it's going to look so different than what you think it should look like. It's going to resemble weakness, and it's going to resemble meekness. And from now on, those with blessing and honor and favor are not going to be the mighty. It's not going to be the powerful. It's going to be the people who can live in weakness and live in peace. All of a sudden, Jesus introduces them to this new normal. He introduces them to this new way of life that really would forever change everything. It's a completely new order. All of a sudden, it's no longer about those who are strong and mighty. It's about the people who realize they've come to the end of themselves. It's no longer based on people who would seek revenge when they've been wronged, but instead would seek to make things right and would seek to be right with the person who wronged them. It's no longer based on relationships or parenting out of fear or intimidation. It's all of a sudden based on relationships. It's based on parenting out of love for your kids instead of fear and intimidation. It's no longer people who would pursue promotions at all costs, but instead they would rather somebody else get ahead than for them to be dishonest. In other words, this new system that Jesus is introducing, it's about people who aren't normal. It's about people who are willing to let go of what they feel like is normal so that something so much better can happen. And I know what you're thinking because I feel this way too. It sounds great in church, right? Like this is a perfect Sunday school answer, but does it really work in the real world? And I know every single one of us are thinking, if I live that way, there's not a chance I will ever get ahead. There's not a chance that this will work. Well, before we write this off, I want to take you back in history because this has worked and this will work again. In fact, if we were to rewind and all of us were to take a field trip and to go back in time to 1927, if we were to place ourselves in the middle of India, we would find a country in conflict. We would find a country battling with the United Kingdom, battling with their oppressors, battling for freedom, battling for equality. It had been this ongoing, long, ugly fight. And all of a sudden, this new leader rose up, a guy by the name of Mahatma Gandhi. And he looked for this peaceful solution to resolve this conflict with his oppressors. And he did something so fascinating that forever changed the course of history. He opened a New Testament. Somebody who wasn't a Christ follower, somebody who didn't even buy into or believe in the scriptures that he was opening, he opened the New Testament, a document that the people from the United Kingdom had brought to his country. And he turned to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, where Jesus outlines the things that we just read about earlier this morning. And he looks at his oppressors, and with love in his eyes, he says, if your country and my country could come together around the teachings of Jesus Christ as outlined in this Sermon on the Mount, not only will we have solved the problems of our two countries, but we would have solved the problems of the entire world. And he did, and they did, and the world was made better. This disruption turned into something that created a whole new normal, and things forever changed for not only their countries, but for our whole world. Fast forward a little bit later in history and bring it a lot closer to home, you find our country tearing itself apart. You find our country in the middle of the civil rights movement, one of the darkest times in our country, one of the ugliest points in history when people could not see people as people, but they saw people as problems. And there again arose this other leader. His name was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He had the courage to embrace justice and truth. He had the courage to embrace peace. And because of his life, because he lived out these principles, things never were the same again. In fact, his life sparked the greatest revision of public history in the entire world. And I know we still have a long way to go, but our world is better because of him. And he didn't settle for normal. So come on, why do we want things to return to normal? Was life that great before? Or could Jesus look at this moment, at this disruption, look at you and look at me and say, come on, let's use this together to once again turn the world upside down. Let's not settle for normal. Maybe something so much better than normal could be our reality. One of the craziest things that Jesus says in this entire sermon to these people gathered on the mountain that day is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What he's literally saying is that there are people in the world who experience what feels like hunger pangs. They feel the aches of starvation when they think about things like righteousness, when they think about things like justice, and when they think about things like truth. There are people like Gandhi in the world. There are people like Dr. King in the world who cannot just settle for some version of normal, but will not rest until the world is its best version of itself, that will not rest until the world is set up the way that Jesus intends for it to be. So if you find yourself this morning in that place where you're filled with discontent, where you're filled with this hunger, this thirst for righteousness, then not only are you in good company, but I believe that Jesus would look at you and say, I can work through a person like that. I have used people like that throughout the ages to bring about some really, really incredible things. So if you find yourself this morning, like so many people do, wavering between this desire for things to get back to normal, but also understanding that things may never be normal again and may never should be normal again, then I would say Jesus looks at you and he would say, blessed are you, because you are embracing change. You are embracing my plan in a way that people who are comfortable with the current arrangement of the world never can. If you find yourself this morning mourning the loss of time and connection with friends and family members, then I would say Jesus would look at you and say, blessed are you, because I comfort those who mourn. And not only do I comfort those who mourn, but I have given you a heart like mine, a heart that loves people well. If you find yourself often being called naive, being called a dreamer, being called too idealistic, then I would say Jesus probably looks at you and says, blessed are you. I can use those ideals. I can use those dreams. I can work through somebody like you. Change the world once again. Come on, we know this. We know this through science, that God takes the most disruptive forces of nature and he creates the most beautiful things out of them. Gemstones that are more beautiful than anything we could ever imagine. They're created through pain. They're created in the dark. They're created through pressure. And yet God takes it and makes something extraordinary with it. And I just believe that maybe, just maybe, out of this heartache, maybe out of this disruption, maybe out of this fear, God is going to once again create something not normal, but something extraordinary, something that will move this world forward and change this world once again.
Fear. There were diamonds waiting to break out of here. Don't you think I hear the whispers, those subtle lies, those angry pleas? They're just demons wishing they were free like me. Where the fire from the sun, we're the light when the day is done. We are the rare, the chosen ones. We're the diamonds rising up out from the dust. Oh, rising up out from the dust. Oh, rising out from the dust. Oh, rising up out from the dust. Every dimming word will kneel. They're just mountains about to turn into fields. We're the fire from the sun. We're the light when the day is done. We are the brave, the chosen ones. We're the diamonds rising up out from the dust. Oh, rising out from the dust. Oh, rising. down so many others, but you will learn to know my name when you see. And in these ashes, I'm stronger still. You will learn to feel my pain, yeah, you will. Taking down so many others, you will learn to know my name when you see. And in these ashes, I'm stronger still. You will learn to feel my pain, yeah, you will. You will learn to feel my pain, yeah, you will. Oh, we're the fire from the sun, we're the light when the day is done. We are the bread, the chosen ones. We're the diamonds, diamonds. We're the diamonds, diamonds. We're the diamonds, diamonds. We're the diamonds, diamonds. Rising up out from the dust. Oh, rising up out from the dust.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us at Decatur City Online. We'll see you next time.